Mr. Scott, real one. What's your date of birth, Mr. Scott?
12th of February, 1930.
And where were you born?
I was born in a little village in Scotland called High Bonny Bridge, near Falkirk, in the county of Stirlingshire.
And what did your father do for a living?
Father was a moulder up in Scotland. And to carry on the story, as it would put it, work was only poorly up in Scotland at the time. So my father came down to England to look for work, leaving us up there, my brother, the younger sister. And unfortunately, for 3 years, he couldn't find anything, no work at all. But eventually, he found a little job and he found a little flat. And we came down from Scotland to Thornaby, where I'm living now, with a trunk with all the worldly goods on it. We were supposed to see my father at Darling Station, and the train was straight past to York. They had no money for a taxi or anything because he was skinned. I said, so eventually we managed to prove to the guard that we, and he took to another train. We had no money for the train fare, put in the guard van on a train coming back to Darlington. He was there waiting for us, panicking. Then, this is carrying on my, we first lived in Stockton in rooms in Stockton. And because my little sister was only small, a lot of people didn't want to know us. And, to be blunt, out of life, we'd been born in Scotland, we were poo-pooed. And we found it difficult when we went to school. The first school was Millbank Lane at Stockton.
And you would be five when you went to school, were you?
Five when I went to school, yes. And my older brother, he was 5 years older than me. And we had a bit of a rough life there. We were going from one room to another, getting moved about. So eventually my dad found his rooms in Thornaby, because he'd got a job at Thornaby, working at the foundry called, he had a nickname called the Vulcan. His actual name was Canal's Foundry. And he moved from there to the Bodley Foundry, still in Thornaby. So consequently, we were getting moved, different houses and that. In Thornaby, we had 5 moves before we finally settled in the house that we managed to get to rent. And this is true. Again, the house we first moved into this street called Short Street, the people had kept pigeons in the bedroom. So we had it fumigated by the council, and they moved us out of it at number 21, from 17 to 21. We lived there for a number of years, till I was 26. Got married, had a little monthly, came back to where we were going to live with father and brother, nobody there. They'd be moved out into a council had a better one. And that was our home country, the only home. So I could elaborate on how rough it was, but that would take too long. Things we had to put up with, but that would give us some idea. So we came back from Scotland to live here.
Were your neighbours okay with you when you got settled in one house?
This Short Street, brilliant neighbours, fantastic to wear. And then gradually we integrated with the people in there. But the first 5 years, I would say, when we came to live here, being born in Scotland, was a hell of a life for us. Used to treat us, and especially when my father used to get money sent from Scotland, and he used to charge sixpence in a pound them days, but to get it changed, but it wouldn't take it off yet.
Now, Scottish money.
Sixpence in a pound it was. And really, you hear people saying they've roughed it. Well, I just laugh when they say that, what we went through, but that's part of the life that you have to put up with.
So there wasn't a lot of money in the family?
No, there wasn't. My grandfather and them, they were moulders and whatever. They're not dead now, uncles now. But they weren't rich by any means, but they had a job. But my father, there just was no work at the time. There was more than jobs going, but it was getting in a first type of thing. And he said, oh, and he came to England. And I don't regret coming to England, because I live in the town of Thornaby. I'm proud to be born in Scotland. But at the same time, I stuck up as much for Thornaby as I would for Scotland, which I will be doing at this meeting, as you know.
To go back to your school days,
yes.
What are your memories of school life?
Well, the first school I went to was up in Scotland, little infant school, and it was quite good. And one incident I always remember, and used to call it Dunkin' for apples, you know, Halloween. And I always remember that. I was brilliant at it. And he said, he's not going again, he gets so many apples in his mouth. And I always remember that. And then, wasn't there long before then, we moved down.
You moved to England.
Millbank Lane, was horrendous, and only went put it the way the threat is, you know, because we were born in Scotland, he wouldn't speak to us anything like that. It was really upsetting. And then coming up to Thornaby, school at Thornaby, this one I found out I'd good, really good pals. There was a big lad, I was only small at the time, big lad, and he was always picking on me. And this pal I found out there, Jones, he said, turn on him one day, he said, dump him. And I went on this day and I said to my dad, I said, I'm always getting hit by this big lad. So my dad said, go back, he said, hit him. So I went back, and the first time I went for it, I thought I broke his nose. Only about, oh, if he's 10 year old, 11 year old. His father would have come tear him down, but if he don't know, so knowledge of that. Headmaster chased him, he said, well, he's deserved it. He's picked on this young lad from Scotland for months now, he said, he's asked for it. And that was the type of thing. Then I went from there to the central school, which was a second year modern. And the up there was totally different. I was a Scots Englishman, put it that way, you know what I mean? Yeah. And when I was 14, we're going to go to high school, but unfortunately, father was out to work again, had to get a job. So I ended up, I was at the same time as a apprentice blacksmith, as you was forged, and I was making pontoon bridges, anchors for pontoon bridges with a blacksmith.
What do you, this would be 1944, that kind of time.
Yeah, yeah.
What are your memories of the Second World War living in the area?
Air raids, thought of it. We didn't get as much as Hull and all these places in London that. But I remember the air raids coming in, and I remember going to the shelter, the big shelter, and all the people in the street used to go in. And one night, there's one chap used to come in the shelter, this is laughable, and he said, there's bloody thousands of them coming over. He used to panic, you know, there might only be two or three. And his wife said, oh, shut up, Sammy, you know. And anyway, this night, the mother went over, all clear and gone. She said, oh, we can't quit. She said, there's soot all over the place. So my dad said, I wonder what's happened. Anyway, went in the place, the house smoked the soot. So my dad was there early one at the time because he made exempt from the army because of his trade mould for tank, he had to make tanks and things like that. So he was there, ARP, early one. So he called the police in, and they sent for the RAF because they're the RAF station at the army. And they sent a chap down. What had happened? A flare from the plane, a German plane, had dropped down the chimney and gone off, and it disturbed all the soot. Well, of course, at one point we couldn't win. They were there 2 days till they got it out, and, you know, in case it blew. So that was one little incident of the war. Mm. Then the Drinking Tea Company used to have their stables in the depot in the end of the street, and I used to go down and sleep with horses, because nobody could sleep with them. There was only 14, and fire watched them in the night. And I thought it was great, you know, and the horses used to get disturbed, you know, the same and things like that, and that was part of my year. But the war time, my eldest brother, he was on the Merchant Navy, and he was out in Manchester, you know, the Russian convoys and things like that. And very worrying time for everybody, mother included. And one night, I also remember at the door, knocking the door, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I went downstairs, and my brother stood there and picked him up out of the water. His wife, big white woolen, all his boats and his jumper there, and he was on for 2 weeks, I think, and then he went back out again. The other thing I used to think about the 1945 was there was quite a lot of talk about, how could I put it, Jehovah's Witnesses and all these conscious objectors and whatever, and yet out of it, heard of anybody out there, you know, there's always talk about, oh, look at them, so and so, they won't go like that. But well, I never come across it well in the army, anybody talking that way. But Sister Mary, she was funny, she used to say to me, you know, I can't understand why my dad never went to join up, but we found out later on he tried to join, but they chased him because there was a name for it, exempt trade or something.
But presumably people who saw youngish men who was in civilian employment deferred, they must have thought they were Jehovah's Witnesses or conscientious objectors.
Yeah. Anyway, we found out later on that's what he'd done. The other brother, when he went to join, never let on, he went to South Shields. Nobody didn't know he'd gone, he came back with his berry on and a little MN badge on the front. Mum said, where have you got that from? He said, I'm going on a boat to say that. He went there for, I think, for 6 weeks training, and he was off.
How old was he at that time?
He was 17. Yeah.
Mm. Your mother must have had a particularly hard life with.
Mother, which we get looked after, as I say this. Father and mother would never stand. Somehow or other, I don't know where he got it from, but he always come up with the goods. Yeah. Never asked questions either, but looked after as we roughed it. And I'm pleased to say, but unfortunately, family-wise, we've been good. We're lucky in health, more or less. Our own brother's dead now, the oldest brother. But my younger brother, who was born, he's an Englishman. The Englishman, he was born in England. He takes some stick. When we're in the, you know, sometimes, you know, if you've got a passport to go across the border, like that. But unfortunately, he got well up in the police. He was a chief from retirement when he retired. He got the Queen's policeman, but unfortunately, father and mother both dead to see him get it. So that was a bit of a disappointment. Mother did see a very 20 year medal, but that was the way we were brought up. We roughed it, but we knew the right thing and wrong, the way our parents got it, which unfortunately lacking today.
There was strong discipline in the family.
There was discipline, but you could do a little bit. I love my football. Father used to train us, we had some good football teams in the area, and we enjoyed life.
There was three brothers and a sister, was there?
Two brothers and a sister, beside me.
Beside yourself? Yeah.
Hugh was the eldest. Bob was the one who's retired, but he'd been retired 5 years off in the police. And the sister Mary, she was the middle one. And she was like the second mother type of thing, you know.
Did the chapel or church play a part in your lives?
Well, it did in my early days, up till I was 15. Because it was during the war, a lad called, what was his name? Garbutt, he had called up near the submarines, and unfortunately, he was presumed this, and I never knew what happened after that. And I had to take his place as a secretary in the Sunday school, you know, write the books out and all this and that. And then unfortunately, it slipped by over the time. But Mother, she never missed a Sunday, never missed.
And which church was this?
St Andrews, the Presbyterian, St Andrews, at Stockton. Never missed a Sunday. Hail Mary shine. More often than she walked it, couldn't find no car, no transport them days. And then a friend who got a car in later years used to come and pick her up and take her. And she used to go mad with father, you know, but that was the way it went, you know.
And your father didn't go?
He didn't go, yeah.
Did you get involved in any of the youth organisations, Boy Scouts, Church Lads Brigades?
Well, I used to go to the Thornley Youth Club, and that's how we played the football. My father used to train us, so he was involved a lot with that. He was a football man. Because when he was younger, he used to play football in Scotland. He used to train teams up there before we came down here. And he took it up. You know, and he looked after us, but a smashing team. We won 3 cups and all sorts. And it was really good. He used to get there, retired old professional boxers to come up and help train. You know, he liked to do boxing and things like that. And Mr. Wise, he was the youth leader. That's what's lacking today. Deviating a little bit from the subject. There used to be the boys' clubs. And for some other reason, they just seem to go out of existence. Yeah, could be some lovely football. Yeah. The Yorkshire County Boys Club versus Durham and all this, and it used to bring friendship and everything into it. It doesn't happen now. Yeah, you got to have the football Sunday leagues and things like that. And I thought it was great for us.
Other than the sporting side of your life, how did a young man growing up at this time? What leisure activities did you have?
Well,
or did you get up to?
Football was the main thing. But I must admit, there's a lot of dance halls in them days, and you used to go to nice dancing, whatever, some good dance halls like that. And I must say, the football and dancing every night out, whatever, was the life in them days, for me anyway. I forgot, I was in the St John's Ambulance Cadets. I did that, yes, I forgot that. Because father was in St John's as well, and he was an instructor with a doctor, and he used to. And that was just towards the end of the war, they'd been ARP. They used to go to Thornby Railway Station, and that's where they used to do the practicing with the doctor, you know, and that. And so he got me to join the St Andrews Cadets. But unfortunately, that folded. Yeah, they had a lovely little hall in Thornby and everything, and just folded. Yeah. The trouble was, it wasn't enough youngsters coming into it, you know. I was about 18 when I finished it. And they just had to close the hall down because it wasn't worth keeping it open. But I enjoyed that St John's Cadets, because you used to get down to Stockton racecourse, and you know, and standing by, you know, seeing the race horses. I think that's how I got the edge to. I loved horses, you know, what I'm saying, and that's what brought me to have a little footer on the horses, you know. Yeah, unfortunately, and sometimes fortunately.
You would be nine when the war itself, the Second World War, started. Obviously young, but do you have memories of the of that early stage of the war in Dunkirk and the way people were reacting?
I can remember there was a chap, I can't think of his name now, he was the first one I seen coming home on leave, and he, I thought it was leave, but he was coming back from Dunkirk, and that chap, he was a bundle of nerves for the rest of his life. And then he also, maybe going a bit too far forward, I've just been told this gentleman, and he was a gentleman, he suffered a lot prisoner of war, and he escaped. And he escaped that many times, he's kept all his secrets, not many people know. And he escaped that many times, they took him to Berlin. Anyway, I've just found out he's in a home of Thornaby, and he'd be 86 or 87 now, I think. So, he's a year younger than the mother-in-law, who's 90 next month, and he went to school there, and he's in a bad way. But that chap, if there was, say, a car backfired, his nerves just used to go. And if people didn't know, they used to laugh at him.
And what was his name?
Mallon. Alphonse Mallon was his name. Yeah. Gentleman.
Your parents must have been worried. You, as you said, you had an elder brother who went into the Merchant Navy, but it must have been a concern to them because they'd have memories of the First World War.
Well, I would think they would have, yeah. Mother was really, couldn't rest at all at night time, you know. I mean, even now about stress in that world, to me, I think it's an absolute lot of rubbish, yeah. I mean, my brother, he's just been through that, and then sort of 3, 4, 5 years after, she's worrying about me, and to get, no, I mean, the stress, my dad was out of work for 3 years with poison in his system. That was after we got established right here, and he used to go to the shop on the corner and take, you know, because we had no money, yeah. And he used to rob you blind. You make your order of a pound, he used to charge you £1.50, you know, well, £1.10 as it was in them days, yeah. And, I think so roughly, really, it makes you a better person.
You left school at 14, and where did you say you started work?
I went to work at Hugo's Forge.
Was this through your father's influence?
My father, he got us started there, and because he was still a mould at the Bonnie Foundry Thornaby, and somebody said, oh, there's an apprentice. But it wasn't that I didn't like it, it was just that it got in the road of my football, because you had to go to work on the weekend, you see. So I said to my dad, I said, I'm unhappy. So anyway, eventually my dad left the mould and he got a trade. Job as a labourer in the British Titan chemical factory.
And what job did you do as when you first went into this work? What was your job?
My job as a blacksmith, apprentice blacksmith, was hammer driving, big windy hammer, leave at the side.
Steam driven.
Yeah. Wind it was, not steam. Wind. Mm-hmm. Compressor. And that was my first taste of I've seen anybody a bad accident. I'm a lever, used to drive up and down the head, used to come down and hit the steel. And when you finished, you either had to drop the hammer, or you put the lever, you put a pin underneath the lever, so it couldn't come down. But some of the lads were not keen to get the switch as they come off the anvil. They used to bend forward. And this lad was a brilliant goalkeeper. And he went to kick it off with his foot, but he hadn't let go of them, he put the pin in, and come down and took his foot off. And I stood on. And that was, showed me, you know, that's the accident could happen. That was my first year to
me. What was your first wage?
I think it was 86.
The old money?
Yeah, it was the old money, yeah.
And how many hours a week would you work for that?
I was working, used to start at, I think it was 7:30, half an hour for dinner, and then finish at 4 o'clock. And it was actually in the middle of an old scrapyard, the forge. And they used to bring old petrol tanks, napalm, things like that, up the planes, leaving there to be scrapped, but that to be emptied. but the fuel still left in. And then that day there was a massive explosion, and one chap had gone in with a burner and dead it, and it probably killed him. That chap. And another incident. You don't think for your lad? They had an old locomotive in the scrapyard, and it used to go up and run up and down. And it used to be old tanks there, still had shells to be fired off, and they had great big sheets of steel about 6 inches thick. And they used to have a special day for firing them off. The whole area used to be cleared. And the old engine used to bring the old Centurion, whatever it was, coming down, and offloaded. Anyway, done all the firing this day, and it was on a Sunday, and we were asked to go out and empty the coke wagon for the fires. That would be extra pocket money, great. They'd left the steam on, you know, they always just in a bit of steam on, so of course, play it, but you go, oh, one of those things are having a train. So we get on, and Father now, you know, full of evil all that, and off goes the train. Well, there's a branch line at the mainland stopping above the bridge. Well, luckily for us, it stopped about 10 yards from going to the bridge. So we were doubled, you know what I mean? But that was a bit of, you know, nasty when you're doing something like that. That's what we did. That was the part of the blacksmith.
Was the works far away from your home? Did you have to travel in distance?
A bus. Well, sometimes I walked it. If you were skinny, you had a bus fare, you walked it.
How many miles would that be?
I'd say, 3 miles, 4 miles. Yeah. It's 2 miles from Curry Town Centre to Stockton, and it was further up than there. About 3 to 4 miles.
And you say you worked a shift system, did you?
Not at the blacksmith. Oh. It was a normal day work.
And that includes Saturday mornings as well?
Well, if they were doing any... at that time, you could say nearly 7 days a week, because we were making anchors for pontoon bridges with the water still being on. Yeah. So basically, we were there all the time. Yeah. But the water was still on, and we couldn't have the fires on at night, because they might have come over, you know. I know that they were more on their way out at the end of the war, but they could have still... we didn't know. So they still carried out the routine of blackout, you know, in case the fires had to be doused and everything. Yeah. And I also remember one incident up there, at an old lifeboat, was it, that the boss who owned the farm, Jim Hugel, he was captain of the Sea Cadets. He'd been in there, I don't know, in the Navy between the two wars of 1914 and 1945, and the old lifeboat was up on these rafters. We used to go up there and play cards. And anyway, the foreman used to come. I know he's up there, we, you know, keep quiet. Anyway, this day he said, right, I'm sucking the lot here. So we all jumped out. Well, unbeknownst to us, there was all these wooden boards. And we didn't know that covered no railway line, it went to shed. It was defunct and being used. Lucky for me, I wasn't the first one out. The lad jumped over, went straight through the wood, and it was all oil. Well, when they got him out, he was just like a black man. And that learnt my lesson then. Look first before you jump, type of thing, you know. Straight through, yeah.
And let's say you worked Saturday mornings.
Saturday morning, yes. Sometimes they say if a bad load of coke came in, the coke used to be chunks of about, or anything between 6 to 1 foot in diameter, you know, rough. And you used to break it into small bits with a hammer. So fingertips with all bits, with no gloves, were then dry by the time we finished. But we thought it was great getting a bit of extra money. Yeah.
You got extra money for that particular task.
Yeah, you didn't get double time like you do now and things like that. They maybe slow and give you 10 shillings.
Was there an annual holiday for working there?
Yes, we had 2 weeks, we only got 2 weeks then, yeah. And that was probably very July and August, it depended. Yeah.
And had your family been used to an annual holiday at all? Did you get anywhere? Did you go anywhere?
Well, if we went, they went back up to Scotland to see our cousins, uncles, and aunties who we didn't see, you know. Yeah. And to get up there, even though the war was finished, type of thing, we still had a troop movement. Quite a lot of youngsters used to come down from Prestwick Airport and that. And many a time I've seen us sitting in the corridor, the old corridor train, stuck in a case. And a youngster come and say, you want to look and get out of the ground, you know, we thought it was great, yeah, going there. Then, when we could afford it, we used to go up on the bus. Because Dad used to think, well, the train was really crowded them days, you know. Just only through having a lot of war passes, there was still movement in the area. And he said, oh, the bus is better, so we started using the bus after that. But I always think of the youngs when you used to say that, you know, they were good. You know, I know they might think, oh, look at them poor devils starved, you know, they were good.
So, how long were you with this first firm? This
2 years. I left them at 16 to go to the British site now, where my daddy got a job as a labourer. And he got me into the Clippers Chemical Plumber Lynn Burner, which I stayed with till I went to the planning department up there after 25 years on the tools, as you could say, and then I, when they closed it down anyway.
And did you get more money for this job?
Oh, yes, I got more money, yes. I was getting, let's say, I think I started up with about £1.50, you know, which was quite good, like, you know. And I got a little rise each year till I came up with time. And, of course, then National Service came up.
And you handed your wages over to your parents?
Oh, my mother used to say, oh, yeah, so you take back what you give me. Yeah. And then I had a little, two jobs. Oh, I'll go back to what my very first job was, I just remember. My very first job was a window cleaner. 14-year-old, well, I'll be 13 and a half before I got this job at the Young Sports. Used to go down to Stockton Race Course. There was a little row of flats and houses there. The gentleman had a window cleaner. He was looking for a lad. So we had to say, oh, John's looking for a bit of pocket money. So I goes down. Little did I know, an old barra, ladders on it, bucket swinging, washing at the end, on the hook. Little old wilderness road, as they called it. Up what they called Brody Band, on my own. He never used to come and give me a hand. Up there. And he waited for me at the top. And he showed me where to start. If I also remember the very first day, down my town hall, up the top of the ladders. I thought, oh, well, I'll be on the ladder, he'll be doing it. No, no, it was the other way around. I was up the ladder, then eventually he'd disappear into the Queen's Hotel. Then he said, I'll show you the other top. Ed Rice's offices. There's a founding firm up there, cleaning them. That's what I did for the first, right from a 14 till a 16, as a bookshelf job with an above my, that's where the credit is supposed to be. Anyway, one day, I had enough, I said to my dad, I said, oh, dad, I said, my dad didn't go in there and tell him, you know, he wasn't helping me and things like that. Anyway, I said, oh, dad, I said, I'll pack it up. He said, oh, I said, I'm thinking of getting another job. And he said, what's make you pack up? So I thought he would happy. I said, oh, I said, I'm doing it all. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm up the ladders, extension ladders. He said, well, just name what we want to ladder. I said, no, I said, I've been doing it on top of bare windows to clean the bedroom. You know, they all say, look in the bedroom, my women, you know, we have some embarrassing few things. And he said, oh, you know, that's it. So he got me the apprenticeship, That was my very first job earning money. I had two paper rounds. On a Sunday morning, finished one shot, I went, I wouldn't do that now. Wouldn't do it. Yeah. And I got a good job. Canyon. Was Mr. Rush at the garage, just near where we did the short street, and Mr. Hyams. Used to be a firm called Hyams, and they used to have a nickname, Hyam Value. And he used to get his own cigarettes, it was worth a lot of money. And my father smoked, but I didn't. And at the end of the round, he was mostly waiting in the village, because we're getting on the years. And he used to say, here, give them cigarettes to your dad. And he used to have, I always remember him, his own little insignia imprinted in them. H-Y-A-M, in all of them. And he used to be like, oval shaved. He maybe smoked a hoot. I took the rest up with my daddy. Great.
And were these all jobs in addition to the main job you had?
To get pocket money for myself. Yeah. And then, on the night time, he used to look for golf balls people had lost and take them up to the golf floor, and he'd maybe give me tuppence or whatever, you know. Well, tuppence, you get a few of them, you shouldn't bump it up. And he used to say to my mum, there's a couple of bob for you and a couple of bob for my dad, and I keep the rest myself. Yeah. But then that's how you did it, yeah, them days. Yeah. And the other time, if I nicked off school, which is very, I didn't do that regularly, we did once, did it once, we went to the cricket of Thornaby, and it was the traders' day, people had shops, they closed in half day, and they had a cricket team. So we were sitting there watching, and one of them said, can you play cricket? I said, no, I said, we're playing, so we're 2 minutes short. And that's all right, but no, you enjoyed it. Yeah.